Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Potty with Serene and Pearl. Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and Danny. And the show is going to get more and more fabulous. Every time you tune in, fabulous vibes are going to pulse. And so, don't stop.
No.
Keep on.
Danny,
don't stop till you get enough. Keep on. I'm out.
That was a fiery welcoming. Hey, got a topic today, Serene.
Oh, yeah, mate.
The voices in our heads.
Oh.
A reason I bring it up was this week I've been reading a book. It's called Life Without Ed.
Who's Ed?
Well, I'm going to tell you. The reason I've been reading it is my daughter-in-law, Kahuru, she very public with this, and you know, I even asked her beforehand if she minds, but she doesn't mind sharing. But she's dealt with anorexia for many years of her life. I believe that she's completely walking out of it, but it's a journey, you know, and sometimes we need help in the journey. But she's just so amazing the way she shares so freely and asks for help and asks for prayer. But it's definitely been something in her life that she's struggled with. But she told me about a book she's reading recently, and it's called Life Without Ed. And she said, you know, many people with anorexia or other eating disorders, they call this voice in the head Ed, and that stands for eating disorder. But it's literally incredible. So I thought, I'm going to read this book just because, you know, my daughter-in-law is struggling with this and I want to know about it. Well, I read this book and I'm like, but I know Ed. What? I've heard this voice in my head now.
Wow.
Not to the state where Kahuru, my daughter-in-law, has, where it is, where she obeys every word of it. And, you know, it's really been an authority voice in her life. And it's maybe the only voice that she's hearing anymore. Because this book talks about many people think an eating disorder voice in your head is you. It's not you. And the whole book is about separating Ed from you. And it's this girl who got free of anorexia, and then I really recommend this book. It's called Life Without Ed. Talks about how she divorced from Ed and her whole divorce, getting rid of Ed.
Wow.
But, you know, the more I read this book, the more I realized, hey, this is just the Bible.
Ed is the accuser.
You know, the Bible talks about Satan being the accuser, and these things come into our head. They're not us, and we think they're us. You know, I used to call myself a worried person, right? That was just me. I'm a warrior. I do this. And there were these voices in my head, and guess what? They were the voice of worry, and I had to divorce myself from worry. There are things we have to divorce out of our heads.
Oh,
I want to talk about that today.
That is huge. Totally huge. And when Pearl first told me about the book, you know, I'm like, oh, Pearl, I can't read it because I don't want to give it a name. What, Ed? I don't want to give these voices in my head that I don't want to listen to a name, because I don't want to give them power by giving them a name. But when she explained to me that it just stands for eating disorder, I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that. It doesn't sound too wobbly woogly.
Yeah, you were like multiple personality.
Yeah, like I don't want to talk. I don't want to read any multiple. I don't want to have Simon and Ed and Frank and all these people in my head. Oh, no, I rebuke it. Jesus name. But, you know, it makes so much sense. It's a eating disorder is – it comes from the enemy, because it's not of life, it's of death, and it's the accuser. It's a spirit. And so Ed is accusations that are totally wrong.
Yes, they're accusations. And, you know, the book talks about this. Ed will tell you all sorts of things. And in the end, you know, many people have died from anorexia. So sad. And it still happens to this day. But in the end, you can be so married to Ed that you will die for Ed. But it's not just Ed. There are other voices in our head that completely destroy our lives, and we think they're a part of us. We think they're so every part of our sinew and cell and part of our mind, but they're not. And they're not permanent residents. We have to dig them out and get them out of town. Like, it's like we I look at it like this. I was thinking about it like this yesterday. You know, we have to be governors. Let's call it sheriffs of our town, which is our mind. And there's bad guys that try to come in, right? And for some reason, we just think, no, bad guys are in my head. I just let them walk around. But guess what? God calls us sheriffs. He tells us to gird up the loins of our mind, the loins of the putts dragging on the dust, right? The junk. Yes. And get them out. And so we have to learn to be sheriffs, to round up the bad guys, put our stinking badge on our shirts, yes. Round up the bad guys and hiff them out. And they'll try to come back in because, boy, they really do. They like the town. They like your brain space. They want to set up residence there. They want to take over. Yeah. But we've got to hiff them out.
And sometimes we don't realize because we're so used to them.
Yes.
And that's like, bro, it took you reading a book about anorexia, which you've never struggled with.
No, I haven't.
To find out that Ed was in your head too.
Ed was in my head. And I still believe after reading the book, I don't struggle with anorexia. But guess what? I believe so many of us have the thoughts of Ed in our brain. Even for those of us who binge eat or things like that, Ed can be telling you.
Or even like if you eat a little extra slice of cake yeah. the night before, even if it's on Plan THM.
Yeah.
I've had, an eating disorder voice. I still hate saying it.
Yeah.
Saying to me, you don't deserve breakfast. I'll wake up and he'll tell me, you don't deserve breakfast.
Or you need to work out twice tomorrow.
But that was a crazy thought. And I don't listen to that anymore. I used to in the younger years, I would listen.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. It's okay if we get these voices in our heads, but that is the key to identify them and to say, oh, that's an accusing voice. I don't have to listen and I definitely don't have to obey.
Ooh, I got one.
Yeah.
You're still not doing it. It's a voice.
It's such a
after
voice,
all
Danny.
These years, Danny, you're still not doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was there till this moment. I'm going to say, man, I can't believe already you're doing it.
I love it.
And I feel the goosebumps thereof.
Yeah.
So good.
You know, this book even, it does, it's because sometimes, you know, people with anorexia just, it's so entrenched into their being, into their mind. They've had this voice for years that it feel like it's so a part of them. There's some actual activities that they talk about. So you sit on a chair and then there's put your chair next to you that's empty. Woo! And you actually, you know, you don't have to do this, but you actually talk to this voice and you say, I'm not going to be obeying you or listening to you anymore. You tell me I'm a fat cow. Guess what? That's not true.
But when you kick the demon out,
yeah,
bring in the good guys.
That's right.
Don't just leave it vacant.
Right.
What are
don't
you gonna
leave
say?
It vacant.
What are you going to say instead?
Yeah.
I'm Danny, I can't believe already you're doing it, man. You're pulling this off. And I'm so proud of you. I don't know who this is saying I'm, you know, Jesus.
But it is true. But the fact is we fight the accuser's voice with scripture. So for me, you know, some of you aren't believers and you just fight with all you've got. You just tell this, you know, tell Ed or the accuser or whoever it is to tell you to eat two quarts of ice cream.
Whoever it is,
yeah.
All evil voices,
exactly.
All negative voices. They're all the force of darkness.
But for me, I fight with scripture. Like if you know, oh Pearl, you're never going to be able to do that. Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, you know when Jesus himself was accused,
yes.
when he was tempted, what did he fight back with?
With
he was the word, but he fought back with the written word.
I know.
You know, man shall not live by bread alone.
Yeah, but
you know,
every word that seeds from the
I
mouth
can't
of God.
Believe already, Leslie, in your life, you're doing it. You are actually doing it. And it's amazing. Yeah, good job.
But you know, another thing too is just, right, well, it's just another way of saying it. Don't give them the microphone. Like you said, it's okay for voices to run in your head. What she means by that is you're not going to be able to necessarily control the devil.
No, the thoughts
but
come
in. But you just
in.
Control your house.
Yeah,
you know?
And it, And I love the scripture. What fellowship hath the light with darkness? Yes. Okay. So it's when we fellowship with the voice and we set up home and we start talking back to it and we have a good yarn sesh.
Yeah.
You know, we just have lunch with them and coffee with them and just give them time of day. But the Bible says, what fellowship do you have with that? You don't fellowship with it.
So true, Paul. It's like I used to say to you, and I think you told your daughter Meadow, when negative thoughts would come into my head, I'd be like, sorry, don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because sometimes you
especially
can sit down.
Especially fear voices.
You can sit down. You can actually negotiate. And you can say, listen, I think it's wrong what you're saying to me or what you're doing. Yeah. You know, like I'm not. So I think it's good to say, have like the word, definitely. Or like Danny said, have good combat, like a line that you're going to put there instead of the accusation. I 100% agree. But I've got to the other side where I negotiate so much. I give my whole – I sit him down on the counseling couch in my head, the terrorist, the fear, and I say, this is why I'm not going to listen to you. And I'll spend an hour dealing with the voice. That's exhausting and that's too much and that's time. Yeah. And that's and so now I'm like, hiff him quick, but do it quickly because even if you've got great answers, too many things to say back is spending too much time. It's communicating with the terrorists is what I kind of think.
Well, that's where I think slogans, or some people call them mantras or something, but a phrase that you have memorized really helps. I'm that girl is one. What if you could is one. Yeah. These are things that are prepared in our minds that are sitting ready like little warriors that can help
us
fight.
No, it's true. You got to have something ready. Like Serene, I don't negotiate. Fear comes in. I don't negotiate with terrorists. Right. Like for me, when I used to wake up with fear in my years of when fear and worry overtook my life, it got to the point where I'd wake up at night. The first thoughts that entered were terror, fears, because it had overtaken me. So I'd be like, oh my goodness, you're going to get breast cancer, things like this, you know?
They come in the night.
Yeah, they do. And the Bible even talks about that. So I'd just have this ready in my, and I'd even speak it out loud on my way to the bathroom at 3 a.m. in the morning. No, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind.
Hey, you know,
speak it.
One of the hard things for me is learning to identify the voice, because for me, it's not like I will hear audibly or even internally, you know, the internal audible in your mind. I won't like process the sentence, you're not doing it, Danny, after all these years, you're not doing it. Instead, I will just be feeling, it'll be a feeling. And I think a lot of these voices first present themselves in feeling form. So have you ever been in a funk where like it's been a good 30 minutes to an hour and you're just upset and you don't know why? Or you're just at edge and somebody's trying to talk to you and you're just like, oh, I can't even talk to my kids right now because I'm trying to solve, I don't even know what, but I'm in a funk, right? Yeah. I think that funk is that voice. I think
depression.
Yeah, whenever I get in that funk, I'm trying in my current years to, when the feelings are negative or where I'm feeling anxious or something, I try to get to the root of that by asking what is the voice that's banging on in there.
And guess what? Sometimes I don't even do that because I feel like that's counseling couch. Just for me, my personality, and other people might need to do that, but my personality likes to analyze.
Yeah.
So if I spend time sitting, oh, what was that that caused that? Or how I feel like I'm just spending a whole lot of time with introspectively, which paralyzes me to give out to my family, to my children, to the world around, and to be creative. It kind of just like slows everything down like quicksand and I'm just being processor.
Yeah.
So one of my new mantras is, oh, Serene, get off the counseling couch, because sometimes I counsel myself too much. Some people don't counsel themselves enough. They might need to get on the couch. Like you, Danny, you might need to get on the couch and say, well, why am I feeling like that?
Yeah, yeah.
But for me,
I think men don't counsel themselves enough.
I naturally am like going through stuff like that. So I'll be like, you've been telling yourself for the last afternoon, okay, in the future, you're not going to do that. You're going to say this to yourself. You're going to do that. Now this, we're going to put these setups. Like I'll put parameters in my mind. I am like
a processor.
So my one mantra lately in the last year is get off the counseling couch, Serene. You've already gone through that. That file is, you know, got a big slash across it, like already processed.
That's funny because I think maybe males are less inclined to process and even think about their feelings at
they
all.
Don't, and they don't know why sometimes. Like my husband, if we're having an argument, words, I can beat him hands down. So easy for me. Words just come.
Yeah.
You know, and my poor man, he's a strong, silent type. He doesn't know how to bring words in an argument. He'll just clam up and go stronger and silenter. You know? He can't beat me. But it's a stupid, useless thing to try and go at it, you know, who's got the best comeback anyway.
Well, even kids
but,
will do it.
Yeah. But, you know, men, they say they don't have as many words as women. You know, as women, we speak about 120 words a minute. We think 1,300 words a minute.
That's scary.
And sometimes it's more than that because you might think those words, but you've got pictures and emotions and feelings that represent more thousands of
you
words.
You have a movie going alongside.
They're color and they're vivid. And you know, it's not just the Ed sort of voice that's an accuser. I realized the other voice, Ed's a different voice too. And sometimes it's saying, oh, Pearl, you know, you don't need that much fat on your salad. Another time it's like, you're hungry again. It's been 1 hour. I'm not hungry. But the voice says, no, you're hungry again. You need to go have another snack. You need to have, go get yourself some cheese and hot sauce. Come on, you're hungry. I'm not hungry. It's just these voices in my head. So the voice in your head might be, you need that quart of Haagen-Dazs. You really want it. You really need it. You've had a hard day. Remember, you eat your stresses. Remember, you eat your emotions. You know, you're that girl who eats your emotions. Yeah. You go have that quart of Haagen-Dazs. It's these, and that voice in our head needs to be, hold on, isolated. No, you're that voice in my head. You're not me. I'm not listening to you. Yeah. Get lost.
Yeah, that's so true. So for one person, it could be the voice that's controlling food in a way that it's taking it out from you. The other voice, I mean, so same accuser, it could be this flip side of it. Like, you know, just totally saying, this is your only comfort. This is the only pleasure.
Yes.
This is, you know,
wow. And we believe these lies. Listen, and then you go back to scripture, it's like, Satan is a roaring lion, always going around seeking whom he may devour. Mm. These voices in our head, they want to devour us, and we've got to be the sheriff and just hiff them out of town. Now, to say that is – I know, Serene, you're saying, well, I've got to the point where I just say I don't negotiate. But that was a journey for you, honestly.
Oh, that was totally.
We can't just suddenly be the person with it all in our heads unless it's a miracle and God can do that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly become the person who's like, stop sign. I don't even listen to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a while in between.
There is a journey.
Realizing there's a voice first, disobeying it, then pushing it out, and then it might come back. No, you again. Oh, I see who you are. No, I'm going to get myself up again. I'm going to push you out of town. It's a journey to that place where the voice doesn't even come back. Listen, with my fear, at first it was a battle, just declaring scriptures against it, just refusing to think those fear thoughts.
And maybe processing why you have no reason to fear.
Like, you know. Yeah, I had to learn out. I had to find the other side, why I don't have to fear, why God says I shouldn't. That was a process. It was years. Now, because I am just so used to pushing them out and my synapses have changed, there's been pathways rearranged in my brain, I rarely get that fear voice anymore. Yeah. Honestly, it comes so odd, it still does now and then, but I'm like, I see you and you're like, oh, that's fear.
Yeah.
Haha, well, don't try that today because remember, I don't even talk to you fear.
Yeah.
And now I just hiff it out. But honestly, it took a while to get there.
And I want to backtrack too, Pearl, when you're talking about Kuhuru and this the voices in the head. I think that she has told you, and I think she'd be fine with me saying it, that she doesn't necessarily even believe the voice. She knows it's lying to her.
Yeah, she does.
She doesn't love skinny.
No, she doesn't.
She does believe she looks healthier with the weight on.
She does.
She does believe that she would be happier and her body would be more even like
– healthier.
Yeah, for future children. She that's her whole desire. She's such a beautiful mother. Just because you know it's a lie
–
doesn't necessarily mean yet that you're free, it's because that's the weird thing about these voices. Some people serve, like, you know, some women have abusive situations, you know, and they have a beating husbands that beat them and say all these nasty things that they know are lies, but they still somehow cling to that connection.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I feel like so it is a process. Like you said, it's realizing it's a lie, and I believe Kuhuru is there. She knows it's a lie.
She does.
She knows the voices are not true, but now it's like not allowing them to have control even though they are a lie.
So
because lies can still control.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
So is it just So once you realize it's a lie, I'm just trying to process this now because I'm a processor.
I know. Then, I want you to read the book too, but the book's very lighthearted. It's just this girl's musings.
So now you know it's a lie. Then you the more you ignore it, right?
Yeah.
The less that the grip.
Yes. But the author of this book, you know, Life Without Ed, it took her years. Like, she does this afterward because this book was written 10 years ago.
Not to say somebody can't have
a
quicker
journey. She'd fall down. I mean, she actually suffered from, which my daughter-in-law doesn't, bulimia, a binge. She suffered from anorexia and binge eating and bulimia. So three different what they would call eating disorders. Right. She had them all. And it was, you know, very, very chronic for her health. But even through this book, as she's writing this book and overcoming, she felt like she'd separated from Ed. And then a week later, she's like, I binged last night. And guess what Ed's telling me? Ed's telling me I'm such a failure. I might as well forget it. Maybe I should just give in to Ed. He wants me to obey everything. And there's parts of me that feel so good when I do. I'm special. I know how to control myself more than the next person. I feel, you know, Ed has this specialness about him too, this eating disorder. Like, it's a control thing, you know, and it elevates you in some ways.
Well, there seems to be a victory to beat the challenge. Can I go this many hours
I did
without pleasure of food?
And look, I know I shouldn't be only 110 pounds when I'm 5'7", but guess what? I got to 109 and it feels good, you know? And so there's that. And so even her journey through this divorcing from Ed, she'd slip up so many times and she'd go and binge eat and then she'd go and throw up and then she'd go and deny herself.
This is the writer of the book.
The writer of the book. And I'd think, man, I'd almost want to give up if I was her too, because it looked like she just wasn't getting the victory. And yet every day she said, no, I'm divorcing you, Ed.
Oh, I love
it. Every day she'd come back and said, no, I might have messed up last night and I listened to you, but today I'm not going to listen to you. So I thought to myself, is she ever going to get the victory? Because it seems pretty pathetic, you know, I don't know. And then she comes at the end of the book, 10 years after she wrote this book. And she writes this afterward. And she said, some of you may wonder if I ever did get the victory because I know I slipped up so many times. I'm here to tell you today, 10 years later, Ed doesn't even speak to me anymore. I ignored him so often. We got fully divorced. And she said, you know, I know I know many others that are still going through the journey and Ed's still there talking to them, even though they don't obey them and stuff. But for me, I got to the point where Ed just gave up.
I love it. And let's just say that in the simpler words, where the accuser just gave up.
Yes.
Because there's voices in your head. Like Danny said, you know, it's like you're not doing it yet. Sometimes the accuser is just like, you are so unimportant, or you don't have a talent like other people, or
I'm just not made for this mothering thing. Other women are good mother, but I don't have the patience for it, you know?
You're right.
I mean, that's the accuser right there.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I feel like it can come to in your calling in life. The accuser can come and try and rip you from your calling. And I believe in names. My name is Serene. Yes. And I believe that was my destiny to be fully serene in Christ. Like, find the serenity, find that peace, to find that deep soul rest. And that's something I have battled. Why should I battle that? You know, out of anyone. Pearl, you're called Pearl. You know the battle that I'm called Serene. And that's what my battle it has been. But I am finding it. My path is getting brighter and brighter. And I just found it was even hard for me when I used to go to Florida to find that true rest, because I feel like it was hard to unwind. But this time I really felt like, wow, I'm really learning the joy of peace and freedom more and more and more every year, every day. And so that voice in my head was anxiousness
and sometimes I got to do.
And sometimes there's not, like Jenny said, it's a feeling. It's not even words. It's not even thoughts. Sometimes it would just be like you wouldn't even know why you were anxious. You couldn't, if somebody said, describe why, you couldn't. There'd be no reason. But it's a fantastic thing. And I believe, like Pearl said with this lady who wrote the book, it's that constant ignoring. Yeah. The voice gets quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter, you know?
Yeah.
I also find along with ignoring and, you know, replacing that voice with the correct mantra or slogan, however you want to call it, I also find taking the right kind of action is also
a big
breaker.
So true.
Of these, I mean, let's call them strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
They're places in your life of consistent repetitive failure.
Yeah.
When you begin to not only replace your thoughts, but also replace those actions, even if you fail Monday morning, take correct action Monday afternoon.
Yes.
You know, and the more you take correct action, you'll get those rewards. You'll get that dopamine hit. You'll rewire your brain. You'll change your whole life.
Yeah. And that's the author of this book was talking about that too, in a similar way, as Ed would be screaming in her head at breakfast, "You need to skip breakfast this morning or only have that bagel, no cream cheese like you've always done. You know, have that half cup of cereal, skim milk. That's all you deserve. You know that you can do that. You know that your weight won't go up when you do that." And it'll be screaming in her head. And while Ed was screaming, she is making her eggs and her toast. And she, you know, whatever she has to do, have a good nutritious breakfast to actually gain her weight, she would do it while Ed was screaming in her head. And that's exactly what you're talking about, action.
Yeah, I almost have a weird, it's not an eating disorder, but gosh, maybe it's a borderline one, where I want to get up and just race into the workday and not think about self-care, which by that I mean eating a dash gum breakfast. And so almost every morning I just do it's a discipline. It's still work. I just make that oatmeal.
Yeah, man.
I just make the oatmeal.
But it's a discipline. But look at you now. You're sitting here.
I'm actually
gaining
weight.
Yeah, yes, and you're looking so healthy, Danny. And it's because of that discipline. We're seeing these things in your life.
No, I see the fruit.
But I believe one day you're going to love getting up and making that oatmeal.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the power of this, is that I want it to turn into me loving and getting up and making that oatmeal. Right now, it's not. But I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I'm
going to still get up and I'm going to make the dang oatmeal because I'm starting to see results.
Yeah.
And those are starting to outweigh the pleasure of racing into the workday.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y. Come here, Leslie Pops, because you got your hand out.
Happy rookie question.
Yeah.
Thanks, Danny, for sharing.
What's your rookie question?
My rookie question is, because me and Dan, you're fine, sorry. I don't like breakfast either, and we've talked about this before. So my question is, I want to wake up and I want to have a cup of coffee, and I don't want to put collagen in it. I'm really sorry. Like, I just want to have cream.
That's all right.
How long do I have to be awake? How long after I've been awake and having my cup of coffee before I need to put
catabolic
breakfast?
Situations?
Yeah. How long before I'm really messing my blood sugar?
Well, you see, there's no hard and fast rule. But I want to talk to you about something that you just said, because you're sitting over there at your Leslie Pop desk and you're like, I heard you and you said, "Oh, I hate breakfast." Okay, but
it's like a weekend and I lay in.
Leslie Pops.
And it's a relaxed, like.
You're that girl who can learn to love breakfast, but you have to do it in your own way, because I am not a big breakfast eater either. I'm not one of those people that love to wake up and have a huge one. Like, Serene's so hungry in the morning. That's not me. I want to have my coffee first, but guess what? There are disciplines, like Danny said. I have a discipline now that I am having at least. I've gone up to a quart. It used to be 2 cups of water with lemon. Now I'm a quart with lemon before I have my coffee. I know that you're going to hate that, but I had to get I had to get myself hydrated. Maybe. Coffee was dehydrating me because I hadn't drunk hardly all night, and then I just have coffee, and then I didn't feel like water. My body is zinging with this, and I still have my coffee, but it was a discipline. Now I love it. I don't think you should wait more than a couple hours.
There you go.
Okay.
And that's lenient. I would rather say don't wait an hour or so, but I think because we're all different, Leslie Pops, you could have your coffee at 7 and eat at 9. That's okay, Serene.
We don't want to be legalisms.
Yeah.
Because I have been so legalistic in my life. I'm just enjoying the freedom. So I'm just agreeing with Pearl.
Yeah.
The science behind it would be make you more legalistic with the fact that every hour you – or every – every minute that you wake after being awoken without fuel is slowing your metabolism.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
The knowledge is power. Like, Leslie loves knowledge.
I love the way Serene put that. She's like, let me bust you with the reality of physics, but don't let it you know, choke you up on legalism, but at the same time, know that you are slowing your metabolism down, because that's kind of along the lines I was going to add. But I want to ask old Pops here. What, when you say you hate...
She's younger than you, right?
Yeah.
Old Pops.
Old Pops here. Well, she's more mature though. When you say you hate breakfast, do you mean you hate the taste of food? Do you mean you hate taking the time for breakfast? Do you mean... What is it that you hate exactly?
The mindset, Dan.
I don't hate breakfast food. I like it, but I don't like eating when I'm waking up. Like, all I want is coffee. So that's, I'll do a breakfast for dinner sometimes. Like, I love eggs and bacon and,
No, but what happens if you have your coffee and you have your nice read and you just have your, okay, I'm awake now.
But I don't.
Wait half an hour and then eat breakfast?
Because I wake up at like 7:45 and you do the coffee and then I'm out the door driving to Nashville. It's kind of like a working mama thing,
I wake
right?
up at 6 just to start the process so I can enjoy it.
And I wish. I choose sleep.
Here's what you should do.
Yeah. No, I don't choose sleep.
I like the idea of you having something and not waiting to lunch, Liz, because it is going to slow your metabolism.
I was just going to say, I am visualizing for myself and speaking over the waters that within 2 hours of waking up, I will have a protein shake.
But
I will make it before I leave the house. I will do it.
Okay, so it's another easy thing for you to do. Meadow got me onto this. I love these things. Oh, my goodness. Although I'm not at home, I don't know their names. Okay. So my daughter Meadow had to move to Japan, and she gave me these oatmeal packets. They're unsweetened, right? Oh, I'm just – okay, sorry. You got to look at me, Danny, so I can concentrate on what I'm eating.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying.
I just watched this whole thing play out. Like, Serene can't – like, the baby can cry, and Serene's like, it's all good. As soon as that baby goes, Mama, Serene's like, bring her back. That, look, she knows that that's the
Mama.
Key word to get her.
I know.
That's awesome. Can't resist mama.
Okay, what are the name of these oatmeal packets? They've changed my life. I make them in a sweatpants oatmeal way. But Leslie, you could do this. All right. They are unsweetened oatmeal packets. They also have quinoa in them, a little amaranth, and a tiny bit of flax meal. They're still on plan. I will go and find the name. They're over at my house. But here's what you do. Leslie, take that packet with you. All you have to do is pour hot water on it and, you know, use one of our super sweet, couple of GentleSweet packets in it. It's so delicious. You know, they say only add three quarters of a cup of water, but you know what I do? I add 2 cups of water, hot water, then leave it for a while, good while. It fluffs up. It's so huge.
You're going to bring them to our trip to New Zealand?
Yes, Serene, I will.
Ooh,
I love these things.
Yay. I'm with Pearl on that for people who breakfast is a challenge.
You could add half a teaspoon of coconut oil, Pearl.
Yes.
Yeah, for me, because breakfast is a challenge for me, oatmeal is the answer because it is this thing you put in a bowl and you add hot water.
And
it's
so
easy.
Your metabolism. Like, for breakfast, rev your metabolism.
They really do because guess what? You're waking up and guess what you're saying to your body? It's harvest time.
Harvest.
You know, it's like everything is blooming and blossoming and your metabolism better run fast
the
because
birds
you're going to be feeding it.
I add the THM collagen.
Brilliant.
To mine and the THM stevia and the THM mineral salt.
I do too. Okay, so you are exactly like me. I've actually, because we were talking at a recent party about, you know, bloaty tummies and stuff, I've been just using a lot more of our stevia you do, Danny.
My purest self is best.
Then Gentle Sweet. I used to not like pure stevia and oatmeal. Now I'm 2 dunks and it's so good.
It's the
2
best.
Pinches of salt, 2 dunks of stevia is just perfect.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Salt. You know when the salt's right because it's like you're not sitting there going, I am eating a salty food.
No.
You're sitting there going, this is way more flavorful.
No, it's rounded. It's, you know, it's breast milk is that perfect combination of
it's
salty
milk.
And sweet because of the
know.
Electrolytes. Well, breast milk has the electrolytes in it and it's like.
So what? How much do you drink a day?
Of her own.
I've tasted.
Like,
not regular.
I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good.
Yes, I have.
You know, not to go on the breast milk
I've
trail,
only tasted once or twice.
But I've been asking lately, like we are drinking mostly milk.
You are set
made
last
for
party.
Baby calves. Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, if calves drink calf milk, should... I just want to ask
the
question.
Hey, Dan, I know you've been diagnosed with AD&D, but you asked that question last party.
Let me tell you about it, okay? Because why are you eating the meat? They were created for humans. It was created as a bounty, as a gift. And why do they... Like, cows can produce... so much more abundantly. They have the capacity to produce so much more than their calves.
And it tastes good. It's like humans crave it.
Well, in the Bible, let's just go back to the Bible. Like Pearl said, you'll spot a fad. Mm-hmm. If first of all, it goes against the word, And if you're not a believer, second of all, if it actually goes against cultural, historical applications of how they've fed healthy nations and
yeah, but the land flowing with milk and honey may have been breast milk.
Well, I don't know about that.
We don't. How do we know it's not?
Well, because
I'm like Seinfeld. Like, how do you know it's not?
Because he says enough goat's milk for the maintenance of your household. You know,
the Bible
they were herd people.
The ox milk and the goat's milk, Dan.
Okay,
Dan.
Never the breast milk.
No, Dan. Okay. Dan. But here's the deal, fine. Right? On Trim Healthy Mama milk. Let me clarify this. Yes, if you need to gain weight, you could drink some whole milk. Yes. You could drink some whole milk if your gut allowed it. I don't think it does. But if you're wanting to lose weight, we culture it, which means take the sugars out of it. So it's like kefir, it's like Greek yogurt, it's like cottage cheese. The sugars have been removed, so therefore it's a lot more slimming food. But you know what? 40 minutes in.
It's out. It's time.
It's bye-bye time.
Bye, guys. See you next week, right? Trim healthy mama my way. And then I'll be
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.